Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
I use the term procrastination often.
So good.
It's an appropriate term.
No faffing around, because that's just annoying, and definitely no procrastinating. That's a good word, isn't it? Procrastinating. Procrastinating. Oh, I wonder what the etymology of that word is. I'm obviously pro, very good, but crest?
But I do think that you see it come back to bite you in these games. Like, and we've seen that. They ran out of time to do what they wanted to do in this game. And it's because they started so poorly.
Even if it bites them in the ass.
You're not going to get away with these poor starts or the procrastinated offense against... And this is what we worried about. Like, you're not... Like, you can get away with that kind of stuff.
Against Cleveland.
Against Cleveland. Against Vegas. Against some of the lesser teams that the Bears have beaten.
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
0-for-5 on his first 5 attempts is one thing. But when you look at the halftime, it's just galling, really. 6-of-14. So after the 0-5 start, he was 6-of-9. But if you're 6-of-9 for only 32 yards, that goes kind of back to the accuracy within the accuracy in terms of ball placement and allowing you to have a free runner.
Patrick Manley, we always love talking to him.
Layla has coined the phrase the procrastination offense.
You know, I think I heard you guys talking about missing some of the easy throws. And that, to me, is just do the simple better for Caleb as well. That's coach speak, but they got to get everything right.
Tim Jenkins, we always love talking to him.
Are you seeing something on the tape besides just the his footwork's not good enough in terms of why he's not able to complete more of these passes and comes out to these cold starts in these last few games?
I think two of his worst plays that we had were kind of very early in the game on that first series. I do think the context is important, and there's 4 or 5 plays that I could point to that I think shift this whole game if they clean up little things.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score.
Listen, just don't go outside. You know I love being outside, but if you want to be outside today, metaphorically speaking, you got to be inside because it is gross.
I mean, you can be outside. Just make sure you get the Uber or the cab to where you're going. You don't want to really be walking around.
You need some
sort
of roof apparatus on your person, whether it's a car, whether it's an umbrella, whether it's a hood, something.
How about I say the hood is my apparatus of choice to protect the top.
I'm small,
the ceiling, the roof.
A small head, and unfortunately, hoods are too big. And then I had the fortune of walking to work today, and the water dripping between my sunglasses and my face.
So I got you one up. Right, I accidentally left my backpack open, like unzipped. So my laptop, when I looked at it, had water all over it. And I was like, I hope that's not in the computer. Because that would be bad.
Yeah, that was a bold move by you.
It was not on purpose.
Point is, stay inside and listen to us. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. That's Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi. And that's an indication in the open that Tyler Butterbaugh just put together of what the head coach has said this week. Ben Johnson, when it comes to wanting to start faster, we discussed that part of it. Procrastination offense may be a good term. I kind of regret coming up with it, but I too am a procrastinator, so you get the job done eventually until you don't, and that's what happened against Green Bay. But it wasn't just them, as we know. We'll get into the defensive part of this a little bit later in the hour, but we also want to know what you think. 312-644-6767. Marshall has been, as I said in our transition segment with Mully and Haw, percolating on this for a while. I am not there yet. And the question is, what is the Bears ceiling this season if Caleb Williams doesn't show improvement this year? We talked to a lot of people about mechanics. Tim Jenkins, I think, really perked our ears when it came to why he might be overthrowing certain balls. He thinks it's a mechanical issue. But regardless, Ben Johnson had said previously, December is when this offense is going to look its best. And unfortunately, the combination of the NFL sniffing out what you're not doing well as a team and the Bears being able to only do so much of what they want to do in the playbook, and I don't think that's just on the quarterback, leads us to this point where there is a critical game if they want to maintain the record that they started with, if they want to maintain that 9-3 start, if they want to try to get into the playoffs, this Cleveland game becomes much more pivotal. That's the nature of the job when things get better. So how does that translate for the rest of the season? If what you saw against Green Bay is what it's going to be, is that a good way of putting it, Marshall?
Well, I think the main thing you have to remember is for Caleb Williams, it's worked so far. There's a reason they're 9-4 without him being at his best. You go back over the course of the 13 games he's played this season. One, there has definitely been steady improvement from week one to now week 13. They've been in most of the games that they've played past the bye week, and Caleb Williams has been a big reason why. It's been his spectacular throws, the off-platform, the off-schedule, the outside-of-the-pocket stuff that he's been able to do that has had them in a lot of these games. I think what I've kind of come to terms with, and it took a while, because if you'll remember, one of the reasons I thought that they would beat the Packers last week is I said, I think this is where Caleb Williams will be the difference. And we talk about winning in spite of the passing game as opposed to because of the passing game. I thought he was going to have an opportunity to do that. And you know what? He did have an opportunity to do that. He just failed to execute on a play late in the game where essentially the game was on the line. What could have been a game tying or even a go-ahead touchdown. And I think what I've understood after talking to Tim Jenkins, after talking to Patrick Manley, after talking to Anthony Heron, after listening to Ben Johnson specifically, is that this version of Caleb Williams that we saw last week against the Packers, the one that is inconsistent but still does special stuff throughout a game, mostly geared towards the back half of the game, that's the one we're going to get this season. And the types of adjustments and the things he needs to do to correct his game and make it more consistent, it's not coming until the offseason. So what that means is what you saw last week from Caleb Williams, not that he can't make one more play, that's not what I'm saying, but what we saw as far as lack of consistency is what we're going to get from now to the end of the season. And it's Ben Johnson's job to work around that and to put his team, his offense, his quarterback in the best position in spite of Caleb Williams not being a finished product. He's just not going to be a finished product. And that's fine.
I didn't expect him to be a finished product, but I'm not ready to say that he can't show improvement these next, what, four games left? I'm not willing to say that.
Well, let's go to the tape and listen to the people who talked about why he needs the offseason to
do it. I would
also
like to submit my opinion, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was it.
So, like, no, I was going to get to it. So I think when it comes to, like, what you're seeing, I think there's a couple of ways that the Bears as a whole were exposed against the Packers. You don't have to call as many passing plays as they called in the first two drives, where they outnumbered the pass calls outnumbered the run calls, what, 4-1? 5-1. So they ran the ball one time in the first two drives against the Packers. They got a 5-yard rush, which I think is pretty good. And I know that the nature of any offensive coordinator worth his salt is to want to call varied plays. Number one, because it's going to keep the opponent having to commit to various parts of the field and various ideas. Maybe you have a spy on somebody, et cetera. It's good business. But when they've been running so well, and so much of their successful run game is also helping the passing game, and that is a part of the function of the Ben Johnson offense, I think that you can help him in more productive situations with the play calling being what it is. That said, I think part of the reason we're talking about the last play of the game as much as we are, for example, is because it was the same play as the prior week. So it would make sense that Green Bay studied that play during their tape study this week and during their practice in their film study. I trust Ben Johnson to run different plays as well. And I understand that's a way you might be teaching your team and thusly your quarterback. The biggest thing that I'm concerned about, too, is that part of his offense, a big part of it, is predicated on the screen game, which hasn't been there the past few weeks. So if that gets going, and that's a reasonable thing to want to get going, it's also what you study as far as the quarterback if he's struggling, that will help Caleb Williams as well. You don't have to have a 300-yard game by throwing 300 yards in the air. You can have a 300-yard game by throwing 2 yards ahead to DJ Moore in the flat, and he can run for you. So I think, yes, has the improvement been where we wanted it to see? If that's your first test of the December look of this offense, is it good enough? No. But am I ready to say that this is the individual I'm going to get for the next 4 games? No.
Well, let's look at the specific thing you just brought up, the screen game, right? Over the course of the season, from start to now, Caleb Williams has been inefficient and inaccurate in getting a runner's ball on a screen.
I'm aware.
And so when we're talking about getting things better, I don't see what you're seeing that tells you that's going to improve based on the mechanical flaws that he has shown us in terms of the pedestrian throws that we've talked about. And that's kind of my point, is that the pedestrian is probably going to be off kilter for the rest of the season. I'm not saying he can't get a little bit better, but the lack of consistency, there's no evidence to show that he's going to get better at the pedestrian stuff without an offseason of change. And that's what I'm talking about, the guys that we've talked to this week. They've kind of pointed to, you need an offseason to fix that.
Let's listen to Tim Jenkins. He talked to us yesterday when discussing the mechanics that we saw that led to inconsistency.
You see it when he sails the ball. I tell you, you see 3 to 4 of them each week. Now, he's also, the thing is he also has enough arm talent where he can make biomechanic. You're not always going to be in a perfect biomechanic position in football. That's what I do love about quarterback play, right? Is you got to have like high-end pitching mechanics, right? High-end pitching biomechanics, but you have to do it with people trying to hit you. You know, there's a big debate. Everybody's like, what's harder to teach, pitchers or quarterbacks? And I would say, hey, pitchers, if the third base coach could hit you, but he can't, right? He's stuck out there. So it's, of course, playing quarterback, because sometimes you're just in a compromised position. I'd say you get 3 to 4 every week. I think 2 of them come to bite him in the tail. And that's just, yeah, he's got to get it corrected. The easiest fix, like if you were working with a young guy, is to keep the back foot on the ground, right? Keep the back foot on the ground, rotate, because it's really hard. I mean, just while you guys are sitting, try to lock out your front, like try to put both your feet on the ground, try to lock out your left knee and then turn your right. Like that's like you can't do that biomechanically. Like, so to me, it's always easier to just keep that back foot engaged. Simultaneously, these elite throwers, these guys that can rotate, like they don't have to do that. Aaron Rodgers does a great job of both his feet are actually off the ground when he's throwing, right? But I do think there's a lot of little fixes he could make this offseason that will clean all this up. Because ultimately, we just need him to be able to hit his layups. We need him to be able to hit the big in cut instead of sail that one and then complete the one to commit, right? Like, we need him to hit both of those.
So listening to Tim Jenkins there, it kind of hones in on the specifics. And I'll give you an analogy of a basketball player. You ever seen a super athletic, like high school basketball player who can dunk on people and do all kinds of crazy stuff? But then you'll see when he's not able to dunk the basketball because physically he can't get high enough, he misses the layup. That's kind of where Caleb Williams is right now. He can make all the spectacle. He could be in a dunk contest tomorrow. But as far as layup line, you worry, can he make the layup? And so far this season, we haven't seen enough evidence that he can make the layup. And just listening to how he's describing it, because he can do all the special Aaron Rodgers-like, his idol, by the way, throws. But it's the very basic stuff that's really holding back this offense.
No, and I agree. I think one of the things that I talked about first that was an element of concern this season was, please don't throw everything as a plus-plus fastball. And in the past couple of games, we have finally seen that not happen. There has been more touch on passes. Passes of consequence, by the way. Like third down passes, plays where you knew you needed to move the chains. So I think that because of that, you will see some adjustment here. I understand why footwork might not come as easily. That makes sense. I tend to, if you go through the mechanics yourself and you footwork wise talk about what Tim Jenkins talks about, you could see why, especially for somebody who's not 6'2", who's not 6'4", why they would want to be on their front foot as much as possible, because it helps with seeing the field. So that, I think, is part of this as well, is, are you willing to, I'm not saying he's on his tippy toes, but is it a situation where that just helps you stretch up a little bit more to see over the helmets, the hands, where your receiver needs to be?
Yeah, just like we're conscious of him getting balls batted down, he's conscious of it too, right? He wants to see better. He wants to avoid stuff, sidearm throw. There's so many different ways he can try to avoid that.
He's risk averse. But I think because of that, he's got to learn what he needs to do and what his levers are in the NFL. And I think not throwing a fastball all the time is a good indication that this is still something that we can see happen to an extent during the season. And I know Kurt Warner was something that you listened into keenly when he was on earlier this week with Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, the thing I loved about what Kurt was talking about is that he didn't necessarily have a problem with all the stuff Caleb was doing, but he said even the way the offense was going was maybe not what he wanted to see from Caleb.
Let's listen to Kurt Warner and what he had to say.
It's hard to really put your finger on what exactly it is. I don't think he's got, you know, terrible technique that, you know, that would lead him to miss a lot of throws, you know. And again, there's always different nuances to the technique, but I'm just saying, when you look at balance of his feet, you look at his shoulders, I don't think that's a big part of it. I think there's certain times where we've talked about him throwing the ball too hard, you know, putting too much on the ball. And when that happens, you miss by a little bit, you miss. And other guys that have more touch on the football, there's more room for air for adjustment with the guys on the other end. I think some of it, too, is getting comfortable with the timing element of the offense. And whether that's him getting comfortable with exactly how it's going to play out, or whether it's him getting comfortable with seeing the field, reading it, and being kind of ahead of the play. And what I mean by that is, a quarterback, you know, you kind of have to read and see ahead of the throw on what's going to be open. And if you're a little bit late on that, now all of a sudden you rush the entire process. You rush physically. You throw the ball a little bit harder than you want to. You're not quite ready to make a certain throw. And that can lead to some of the misses as well.
That, our segment, by the way, brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody asking a question we want to ask it of you, too. If Caleb Williams doesn't improve this season to the extent we've already seen, what is the Bears' ceiling?
Now, that's the interesting thing about this. I think Ben Johnson, as I've stated for weeks now, is so dynamic as a play caller, as a head coach, because that was what I wasn't sure about, right? Like, how good of a head coach will he be? We know he can draw it up and put it out there for his players to execute, but how good of a leader as a head coach can he be? Because those are different things. I think he's done a phenomenal job. That's why they're 9-4. But I think there's just a very slim margin of error. But I think this team could still win the NFC. I think that's how good they are as far as I see that look you're giving me
because
right now.
Because you're all over the place.
I'm not all over the place.
Make it make sense.
No, they have a smaller chance of doing it because Caleb Williams is not going to get where I was hopeful that he might get in 1 year. But they still have a chance. It's just the margin of error is so much thinner. It's just so much there. Like them going on the road to LA or Seattle, like I don't like their chances. Not that they can't win because, you know, any given Sunday.
To win the NFC,
yes.
To beat the Rams and the Seahawks, you will have to have a game where your quarterback is the one getting it done for you.
Yes.
Can you say that based on what you just said?
No, I can't. But what I can say is if he doesn't make mistakes, that's part of the battle, right? If they attack like... Who was it that just beat the Rams? The Panthers? Get some interceptions. Anything can happen, right? That's how they live, right? Off the takeaway. If the defense can get a hold, if Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards are back as your linebacking core when the playoffs start. These are all things that could happen, right? Reasonably.
Hold that thought. We have more to come on this segment. We want to ask you too. 312-644-6767. You're welcome to chime in via text, via call. Trying to keep you warm out here with the weather being what it is. So we want to know, what is the Bears ceiling if you think that Caleb Williams has reached at least his peak this season as far as development is concerned? This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news on The Score, and we listen for it because the winter meetings are going on, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers are Ray Diaz and Tyler Buterbaugh. Tyler, with that great opening you heard earlier, Ray keeps us functioning as he tends to do. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. That is where our Twitch mob is hanging out. It's a show within a show, and it's always fun to listen to and read in this case. Our video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis, working hard for you. So we continue the conversation next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we are asking the question of us, and we are asking the question of you. This is a theory that is a Marshall Harris production. And I think it's a fair question to ask. What is the Bears' ceiling? If Caleb Williams doesn't show the improvement that you thought he might show this season, like if this is the end product, how do you feel about it? And I think with the important games that we have in the schedule coming up next, of course, there's a second game against Green Bay. There's Cleveland, Myles Garrett and the crew on Sunday. And then there's the 49ers and the Lions. So with that remaining set of games in this regular season, how do you feel? We're going to pick up where we left off, and we want you to join in too. 312-644-6767 is our number. You can call us, and you can text us. And the reason we brought this up is because I know, Marshall, you had been asking some of our analysts about this just to kind of get a consortium, some sort of a package of data to figure out your thesis.
I want to make sure that everybody is where they need to be. I mean, let's be honest. There's four games left. We're in the fourth quarter of the season. We knew that this is when Ben Johnson thought that things would be getting better. And let's be honest, throughout the season, Caleb Williams' best quarter has been the fourth quarter. So I thought maybe in the fourth quarter of a season, he'd be doing bigger things. And I think their ceiling still remains very, very high. I just think the quarterback, specifically his ceiling, is limited, and Ben Johnson's going to have to work around that until at least he gets another offseason and is in year two of this system.
I appreciate 847's text. They say, I wasn't listening intently. It happens. Thank you for admitting it. Thought you asked, is this Caleb's ceiling, period? No, that is not the question. As in his career, no, that is not the question. Regarding the Bears' chances with Caleb's current performance, yes, they can win if they have zero turnovers. But wait, is it zero turnovers, or do they have to also take away to add to that?
Well, they were even in the turnover department on Sunday. You see how that game went, although it was down to the wire. But I think that's the easiest way for them to win, is to be plus on the takeaways and also have Caleb Williams playing near flawless ball, which majority of the time he's done, right?
Yes, we have a couple calls too, but I think before we get to the phones, and we definitely will in the next segment, so hang with us. I also think it's important to listen to our guys talk about this. Let's start with Patrick Manley, who has asked the question, what needs to be fixed on the offense? This was yesterday.
Just do the simple better. Get started by not making the little mistakes. And that's just get the game rolling that way. That's what I would like to see. And I also feel that way with Caleb. Do the simple better on third and five. Don't miss those little kind of layup shots to whoever's open. You know, I think I heard you guys talking about missing some of the easy throws, and that to me is just do the simple better for Caleb as well. You really can't put that in this last game. I thought that was too, just the third and 15s because of the penalties. But overall, when they start slow, it's them just not executing the little things. And that's coach speak, but they got to get everything right.
It is coach speak, but it's so true. It's so on point. And let's not forget, even though statistically it was 0 for 5 with just one run in the first six plays, Caleb Williams did run for a first down that got wiped out by a penalty. So it wasn't like there wasn't also an effort to run other than that one running play by a running back. They had a first down and, you know, they went three and out twice in a row because it got wiped out by a holding penalty. That these are things that you probably don't want to happen. You don't want you to have four penalties in the game and two of them come on your first two drives. That's not what you want. But in the same vein, so you're talking about doing the simple better early. One of the things I'm convinced now after listening to Ben Johnson after the game and then the day after the game, he was trying to establish a rhythm early for Caleb Williams. He is intent on doing that each and every game, and it comes out wonky with the 0 for 5 and the fact that he passed five times in the first two series to just one running play. It comes out wonky. But if you listen to what Ben Johnson had to say a day later, he even takes some of the accountability on trying to set that rhythm and not being able to do a good job. Listen to Ben.
Oh, we don't have it yet. Yeah, we're working on it.
Oh, sorry. That's my fault. Thought it was there. So
you can read. You've got the quote in front of you, right?
I do have the quote in front of me.
Yeah, you can read it.
So asked about the overthrow to DJ Moore, which would have been a first down. And obviously DJ Moore is targeted three times, has one catch, negative 4 yards, gets blown up on another end around attempt. Not a great day for DJ.
And a screenplay. Yeah, I mean, he was... Poor yes. DJ was mauled out there.
He was... It was good that he didn't do more, like it's because if he had, you know, come around and not gotten hit when he did, maybe they don't lose yardage on the screenplay. Just drop the ball at that point, you know. But they were back there, they were on him. But he was asked about that early play where he sails the ball over DJ Moore's head on what would have been a first down. He said, on that particular play, I was good with the decision, talking about Caleb. We left it just a little bit high there early in the game. Something I've talked about over the last few weeks with Caleb is, man, how can I best serve him to get him in a rhythm early in games? So when we can, we have some strong starts to the first half. And when you're asking your first completion to be an 18-yard dagger route, that's not always the easiest thing, particularly in those elements on the road like that. So something that he's certainly capable of doing, he makes that throw all the time in practice, and yet we weren't able to do it there yesterday that early in the game. So that's it. So Ben Johnson saying maybe I could have gotten him an easier route to get him going.
Well, here's the thing. I will never forget when we saw, at the time, Luke Getsy go empty to start the game against the Vikings. Justin Fields is the quarterback. The fullback isn't even blocking. Instead, he's not even the hot read. He's the first read on a play empty against a blitz-happy Vikings team that absolutely crushed the Bears' offensive line at the time. And it was about one of the silliest calls I had seen. And if you want to go back and listen to that, I'm sure it's on our YouTube channel, YouTube 670 The Score. But I remember Matt Bowen saying, I don't mind the call because it's a fact-finding mission for the offensive coordinator. I think we knew the facts about the Bears offense, though. Like, you couldn't do that against that particular team and reasonably think it was going to be successful, especially on the first play of the damn game. In this case, I understand the concept of what Ben Johnson was trying to do. Let's see what the feel is regarding this team playing the Packers. Let's see what I can do with my passing game. So he wanted to try to establish it. I understand the thought process. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And I know that he says he didn't make any halftime adjustments. But they ran the ball more in the second half. And then we saw the play-action passing game really get them back into it. The play-action is, if you want to get right, the easiest way and the simplest way that we've seen, and unfortunately the way the defenses are also probably expecting it, is via the play-action. But because they run the ball so well, that play action seems to always be working. But do you want to try some traditional five-step drop, basic pass play? Maybe you are empty set, or maybe you are just in a more base offensive formation that doesn't require a lot of pre-snap motion, that may even not require being in shotgun or under center necessarily. Those simple pass plays that he talks about, I don't mind doing it at the beginning of the game. It was just, unfortunately, nothing seemed to hit in those first two drives except for that run play that got five.
Well, it comes down to this, and it's such coach speak, But it does come down to execution, because you're talking about the fact that you didn't see enough running in the first half. Well, you know what? When you go three and out, you're going to run fewer plays. And when you run fewer plays, you're not going to see the extent of what the game plan is. You talk about scripted first 15. They were off that script pretty quickly, because after two, three and outs, you're making adjustments, because now we're in the game now. It's no longer you trying to establish something in the same way you do on a first drive. It's drive number three, and Green Bay's got points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're going to make adjustments during the game. That is true. But you still have a tried and true way of opening up your passing game. And I feel like they may have to go to that basic. That may be an example of the question you're asking about the Bears' ceiling, if this is the finished product mechanically for Kayla Williams right now. And again, we want to see what you think. 312-644-6767. Let's go to a call real quick, should we? We got a bunch of phone calls. We might as well. Let's go to James in Northbrook. James, you're on with Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Hi, guys. First time caller. Enjoy your show all the time.
What's Thanks, up, James? Thanks for calling.
Basically, I'm a huge Bears fan, have been all my life. But, you know, you guys are talking about Caleb Williams. An argument could be made that the Bears have won all these games, not because of Caleb Williams, but despite the Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams, if you look at his collegiate career, has been making splendid plays, but on a playground type of a football, not in a structure type of system, which Ben Johnson has. Now, if you look at the last play of the Green Bay, that was execution. A lot of people, you could make an argument, why didn't they go for first down? But he was open. There was a player open. It's his lack of execution. Now, I think the Caleb Williams could improve, but the number of lack of execution that he makes throughout many games, even those games that we won, I don't know. Could maybe Tyson Bagent would have been better?
We would
never know. Would we have won more games? Would we have won that Green Bay had Tyson Bagent being a quarterback? Without his, obviously he's not capable of making those splendid plays like Caleb does. There's no doubting the tools that the Caleb possesses, but I think Ben Johnson is, if you look at his character, you could read between the lines, is that there are times in which he is frustrated with Caleb Williams. He just doesn't say it. You could see it based on his character and how hyped up this guy is. Now, so I don't know. There's a lot of argument to be made is that Bears are winning despite Caleb Williams and not because of. But now when it comes to playoff football, you know, you're right. You got to make a quarterback plays. Quarterback is the one who's going to lead the team to the playoff victory. Whether Caleb does it, I don't know. I'm very highly doubtful at this point of his career, right?
All right. Thank you for your call, James. I think
one call. That's all it took.
One call. One call before Tyson Bagent is brought up. The spectacular plays you talk about, and this is of no offense to Tyson Bagent, he does not have the arm strength. He doesn't have the same arm strength. That doesn't mean he doesn't CrossFit his face off. We all know the man works, and he earned his position. But no, that is not the answer. I think the better point he was making lied in the fact that Ben Johnson did talk about, can you win with your passing game? I have not seen enough to say confidently that is an answer that works. But here's the thing. I think in the NFL, you need to run to win games. So I'm okay with it, because that theory bears out more often than not.
I think seeing just how gassed the Green Bay Packers defense was at the end of that game, they were moving the ball down the field. They might come up with a stop here and there like they did on third and one, but overall, they were just moving at will down the field. That kind of sums it up. What you're saying, Layla, is that the running game is the most important thing as far as just controlling the line of scrimmage and then just having your quarterback make a play. And to that caller's, you know, on the other side of that, Caleb is a reason why they've won a lot of these games, because he's led big comebacks with spectacular throws as part of the big comebacks.
Well, that's it. And there's a reason we wanted to. I like it when we talk with people, not necessarily at them. So, yeah, for everybody complaining that we take calls, I don't know. We also listen to you. So there you go. 312-644-6767. More on the question. And we have a pretty hot phone bank here. So we will continue to delve into this. What is the Bears ceiling? Marshall asks, if this is the stopped improvement arc for this season of Caleb Williams. The operative word being this season. There are four games left in the regular season. Let's discuss it. You've got Raheemi Harrison Grody on the screen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Score.
Raheemi Harrison Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we began our show asking the question, if this is as good as it gets mechanically for Caleb Williams, what is the Bears ceiling this season? This season.
You know what that sound is?
No.
It's cooking, because folks got ideas and thoughts about this particular topic.
They do. The phone lines are hot. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Sean on the west side. Sean, you're on Raheemi Harrison Grody.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. So I want to start by saying I think he's a poor man's Baker Mayfield at the moment. At the moment. I gotta put emphasis on it. He's a poor man's Baker Mayfield at the moment.
What does that mean?
And meaning, you know how Baker get out, scramble, make these spectacular plays with his feet, or he might throw it down the field. Like, you know how Baker is. That's Caleb. So So let it soak in. Think about it. Think about Baker in the beginning of the season. Think about where he is right now, right? And I think Caleb, and I'm getting to my point, if Caleb play like the beginning of the season Baker Mayfield, who was almost in the MVP category before he just fell off a cliff, but we know he got a lot of injured players and stuff. If he play like that, it's Super Bowl.
Okay, I think you're not the first person to have made the Baker Mayfield comp, Sean. We thank you for calling. But the idea that that's all it's going to be, or at least this season, or Baker Mayfield. He said poor man's Baker Mayfield
at
the moment.
Poor man's. That's what got me. It wasn't the Baker Mayfield comp in itself. But when you say poor man's Baker Mayfield, I'm wondering what is it that Caleb's doing that makes you think he's a poor man's version of him?
There was a game this season where Baker Mayfield threw for 41 yards total. Now, granted, it was against the Rams. But I get the inconsistency with Baker Mayfield. I get why maybe there's a connection there. I do not think they are the same. Just because they're both good at rolling out and that helps them see the field better or something along those lines does not mean... But there was, I mean, at the beginning of the year when they came out winning three straight, he's right about people being hot on Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, the irony of that, the winning three straight, he threw three total touchdowns over those three games. You know,
like I said, running the ball is your best friend.
Or excuse me, I'm sorry, six. I was looking at the wrong end of that schedule.
Yeah, it was three against Atlanta, two against Houston, and one against the Jets.
Mayfield's been in the league how long?
They had a brutal stretch, though, where they had to play in this order, New England, Buffalo, and then the Rams. Woof.
Baker Mayfield's been playing quarterback since 2018. That's why the comparisons don't hit, because we're talking about a guy in the first year of an offense.
It's also why I don't like to make comps, because I'm like, this is what's happening right now. I'll compare one game to another, but I don't like comparing somebody necessarily to another individual. Maybe the arc, maybe the improvement arc, but no, not necessarily in this case. We continue on the phones. Let's go to Nick in Bridgeport. Nick, you're on Raheem Harrison Grody.
Hey, Layla, Marshall, love your show. Always listen while I'm driving around doing my job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, watching more football now because, the Bears are in it. I've been a Bears fan for a long time. But when they're kind of having bad seasons, you really don't watch much of any other games. I would say right now there's only two quarterbacks that I've watched so far, maybe Drake May. And the Buffalo quarterback that I would take over Caleb Williams right now.
Josh Allen.
I think the problem, Josh Allen. I think the problem, and the Packers is a great example, the Bears offense just starts too slow. I think Caleb is a point guard that loves to push the ball up the court. And it seems like Ben Johnson kind of loosens up Caleb Williams in the second half. Just your thoughts. You think maybe the two-minute offense to start the game might get Caleb in a better rhythm? The defenses that they play in the second half are exhausted because of how much he moves around. What are your thoughts about maybe going to a little quicker pace earlier in the game?
Well, first of all, Nick, I would like to thank you for being a safe driver because I heard your blinker was on. Secondly, I don't hate the idea.
I don't hate the idea.
I think this is a fun idea.
I think Nick is on to something here. And I'll say this because we've seen games in which they have switched to a no huddle or a tempo offense in order to get some rhythm going, whether that's keeping a team's defensive unit as is on the field or it's getting Caleb and the offense in a better rhythm. Now we talk about how he has improved from start of the season to now, and Anthony Heron talked about this with us in terms of all the mental stuff has caught up to where it needs to be, and now it's the physical that he's working on improving because he's got command of his team going to the line of scrimmage.
Well, and he likes playing in that pace.
Right.
Like, he's good at playing in that pace. It felt like the hurry-up offense against the Vikings to start the season. I felt like that was the pace they were playing with. I think that was something that was ingrained into QB's head, like, you are not getting sacked on this drive. I don't care how it happens. I feel like we've passed that, which is another reason why I think the improvement isn't over with yet this year. That's another example. I mentioned the fastballs. he doesn't throw as many anymore in certain situations. I would also like to say the sack avoidance has just been massive. He's naturally not a guy who likes to throw interceptions. I think that has to be coached out a little bit. Like, he does have to throw more of the balls where it's like, oh, you need to learn that you can throw that ball. And it might not end up in INT. It might just end up incomplete. But I think that that's the concept of running no huddle to start the game is avant-garde enough to make Ben Johnson interested. And then good enough to say that would help punch him in the mouth, I think, to begin a game. And you know what? Detroit loved when Ben Johnson was offensive coordinator. Detroit loved to do some ballsy, can I say that on the air?
Yeah, what do you
okay,
mean?
Okay, some ballsy like trick play to start a game. Like, they were the dudes who'd be like, okay, yeah, cool, hook and lateral.
Okay,
you know, like, they would do that kind of stuff to begin a game and punch somebody in the mouth.
I'll say this, specifically to what you're talking about. Love the idea. Don't do it this week. Wait till they play the Packers again. Don't waste that type of surprise element on the Browns. Just beat the Browns. Just straight up, just smack the Browns.
Well,
around.
If you want to straight up beat the Browns, I'm running the ball as much as possible.
I am not opposed to that plan of attack.
And then if I need to use the play action and have a rollout or two because Myles Garrett likes to chase people down, then I'm going to do it. And I'm sorry if the plan looks similar to last week or the week before.
I'll say this. Run the ball. Kill them with explosives. That's your game plan against this. It should be your game plan every week, but specifically against the Cleveland Browns, a team that you should be able to overmatch both offensively and defensively. Just do it.
773 says, what's better for the Bears, a Lions loss or a Rams loss? Lions always go with division first, then kick it out, even though
I disagree.
They are threatening.
I would say the Rams, because if you want to win the NFC, as far as have a chance at the number one seed, you need the Rams to get knocked off a peg. You don't play them head to head. You play the
play the Rams head to head, but if it's a loss to another NFC team, like say the Lions, you know, the Seahawks, no, I think it's still the Lions.
You just beat the Lions straight up yourself. It's in your hands. That's something you can control. Let the Lions do whatever they do, and then you put them down at the end
of
the season.
I'll have the Rams beat the Lions, thank you. Like, if the Rams stay where they are in the NFC, I don't think it's hurting you particularly.
Okay, so you're giving...
It's hurting your chances in the division.
Waving the white flag on the NFC. Got it. On number one seed, the white flag.
Yeah, waving the white flag... Does that mean that I had a flag to begin with?
Yes, you have a flag. Yeah. You're a game out.
Yeah, I think you and I think about these things differently at times, and that's probably a good example. Thanks again to everybody who called. I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone's calls. And you can always text us and chime in on the meatball machine, too. Leave a voice message on the app. You can see that on the Odyssey app, and that way you can leave your opinion, and we will revisit it. We've got, I think, two more days of show before... the Cleveland Browns game, so we can bring it up again and just revisit that idea.
What are you saying the ceiling?
What are you saying the ceiling is again? I don't think I ever got your answer on the ceiling.
Well, I don't think that he's done improving. I think that this is a playoff team. I think they can get to 11 wins.
Okay. I think they can do that, too.
But I also want to take care of division first. That's always how I believe. A division loss is better than anything else.
Oh, no. I just meant, like, if he doesn't improve, what do you think their ceiling is, the Bears? If this is the Caleb you're getting for the rest of the season.
I don't think it's the Caleb I'm getting.
I know that, but if it is, what would you say their ceiling is?
I still think it's probably 11 wins because running the ball wins in the National Football League.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're on the same page there. When I was saying ceiling, I meant, like, how far can they go?
Yeah.
Like, what can they do when they get to the playoffs? Because we're on the same page on playoff. They're a team that looks like they're headed to the playoffs.
Well, but Ben Johnson said it too. They don't have enough wins yet. So that's why I'm like, division opponents keep losing. Bears beat Cleveland, which isn't exactly as easy as you may have made it out to be. Let's discuss it with our next guest on Raheem Harris and Grody. Mike Florio will join us. Mike of Pro Football Talk. So that's coming up next. We'll get the latest NFL news from him and talk about something that I think... we need to prepare ourselves for because it hasn't happened in a long time in the NFL. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.